Hello everyone and welcome to this week's episode of Boat Briefing. My name is Stuart Campbell, Editor-in-Chief of Boat International, and here to help me navigate through all the news from the world of superyachting, this week is Sophia Wilson, our Acting Deputy Editor. Now Sophia, as you know, we're making a few changes to the podcast going forward. What we're going to do is on Friday, today, we're going to be releasing our standard news podcast, but we're going to split out the interview. So on Monday, you've got something to listen to as well. So we're going to have the news on a Friday and the interview, which we've called with huge originality, the Big Boat Interview, will be released on Monday. So we have two hits at the podcast each week. And so our first Big Boat Interview, Sophia, will be with...
It's Charlotte did the first Big Boat Interview, and she caught up with Charis Saraf, who is the owner of the classic booty Kalisma. Charlotte caught up with him in Dubai, and he tells us about his journey with the yacht, which of course was once famously owned by Richard Burton and Elizabeth Taylor. She was in a bit of a sorry state when they bought the yacht at auction, and she had two lawsuits against her at the time, which I think was why there was quite so little interest. He's done a major refit on her, and the team worked on her throughout the pandemic, which is no mean feat, and they ended up at one point having to ship the whole operation from Bombay to Colombo to do the work. She's still got a lot of her original features intact, but now has a lighter, brighter facelift thanks to her Italian interior design team. And the boat has just got the most fascinating history, which Charlotte talks about a little bit in this interview. And you can also read the full story with plenty of wonderful images in our February issue, which is on sale now.
Yeah, that's right. Big story in the February issue. Lots of lovely comments from the designers, the captain, project managers, and Shirish himself. And he's kind of kept threads from the past throughout, so you don't lose that kind of glamour and romance of the Taylor Burton saga on board. And so it was also on board, I know we've probably talked about this and bored you to death, but it was on board, so he gave her this diamond on the boat that was some outrageously huge diamond that became known as the Taylor Burton diamond, and it had to be accompanied by an armed guard carrying a submachine gun. But just one of many amazing stories involving this boat, and great that she was in really quite a sorry state. So great that she's got a new life. So here all from Shirish, the new owner of Kalisma, on Monday in the Big Boat Interview. So let's start with news about the World Superyacht Awards. Obviously, COVID played havoc with our event schedule here at Boat International in 2020. Very sadly, we had to have a virtual ceremony, but it was still a great show for those of you who took part and watched that. Last year, we were forced to move them to September due to various lockdowns and restrictions. And they took place in Monaco. But in 2022, we're in 2022, right? This year.
Just to confirm.
Normal service is being resumed and they are taking place in May. The big gala ceremony will take place on the 21st of May. And the ceremony is happening in London, and the program is spectacular. I'm sure we'll have some more details about that coming up for you, but I can reveal, I'm not sure if I'm going to get shot by the events team, but we will be hosting. I am going to get shot by
you
the events team.
You're going to get shot, and you're sitting dangerously close to them in this office as well, so it's a bold move.
Well, let's just say a very famous Abby will be involved in the weekend. It's going to be really, really special. So tickets for that will be available soon. But why am I mentioning the World Superyacht Awards? Because we have a new title sponsor. Akyacht has come in as a title sponsor of the World Superyacht Awards. So the Turkish shipyard is on board and we are thrilled to have them. And Akyacht is, of course, the builder of this month's cover boat, 85 meter, Victorious, which is owned by shipyard founder Viral Ak. And Sophia, this was your first ever cover story. Is that right?
Yeah. Nearly 7 years in, my first cover story. Yeah, I mean, I feel like I've bored, like, similarly bored listeners to death about Victorious, because we've talked about her numerous times, but it is the most incredible story. I was very lucky. I was on board with Mr. Ack, who is hugely passionate about the project and what they're going to do with the shipyard moving forwards. He owns numerous businesses across Turkey, and as he proudly says, Ack Yacht is the only one that has his name. So that is is how much this means to him, and I know they've got some exciting things coming forwards, and it's great to have them kind of at the World Super Awards to really sort of announce their arrival onto the superyacht stage, I guess.
Yeah, it's not a bad debut, an 85-meter, and she had a great position in Monaco, didn't she? She was right in the middle of the harbour.
With a Bentley as well on the front. The
yeah. So Mr. Ack said, "It is a great pleasure to be part of this most prestigious organisation and join Boat International as the title sponsor for the 2022 edition of the World Superyacht Awards." Well, thank you, Mr. Ack, from everyone at Boat International. We're thrilled to have Ack Yachts with us on this journey. In other news, we are hiring. We have a number of roles up for grabs. We've never recruited by a podcast before, but I tell you, anyone out there listening to this who is trying to recruit at the moment can surely sympathize. It is not easy at the moment. It is a job seeker's market, I think. There's lots of openings, and trying to find the right person is proving quite tricky. But actually, we've got four jobs up for grabs at Boat International. So two on the sales team, one with our Boat Pro team, actually. So sales for our Boat Pro team, and one on the wider sales team. We're looking for someone to join our social media team and work with our brilliant social media executive manager, Claire Hagen. And we are also recruiting a digital writer to join the editorial team, working closely with Sophia and her crew on the digital side. So if you want to know more about any of those jobs, or think you know someone who might be suitable to join the sales team, or the editorial team, or the social media team, please reach out and let us know. It's podcast@boatinternationalmedia.com. And working at Boat International is great, right, Sophia?
Oh, yes. No, can you imagine if we actually do manage to recruit via the podcast?
I know. I wonder if we get commissioned via the podcast for recruiting.
We definitely. I mean, it's on record.
It's on record.
Yeah, we definitely should.
Yeah, I think we should. But it's a great team. It's a great team. Come and join us. It's brilliant. So before we move on, I just wanted to send a quick congratulations to the 30.48-meter sailing yacht Comanche, which has just smashed the monohull transatlantic speed record, crossing the Atlantic from east to west in 7 days, 22 hours, 1 minute, and 4 seconds. 2 days quicker than the previous monohull sailing record holder. So apart from my hearty congratulations, this gives me the opportunity to pose an awkward question to Sophia. In 1492, Christopher Columbus crossed the Atlantic east to west, a very similar route to Comanche, in how many days?
Oh, I knew Stuart and I were both working on the script in the same room earlier, and I could see he was absolutely delighted with something, and I couldn't work out what it was, and now I know what it is. He's so pleased that he sat there. I mean, it's going to be slow, isn't it? I'm going to go 17 days.
Not that fast. Considerably slow.
Double it?
More or less, yeah. Yeah, yeah, double it and then some.
Now I've got to do maths as well. I've backed myself into another hole. God, I don't know. 52.
Not quite that slow. So according to my extensive research, which took about 5 minutes and a quick Google, Christopher Columbus crossed the Atlantic in 36 days. For a bonus point, can you name the three ships?
No, absolutely not. What's really depressing is I have a degree in history and I couldn't even give you a stab at a name.
The Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria.
Very impressive.
There you go. 36 days. And Comanche just did it in just under 7 days, 22 hours, 1 minute, and 4 seconds.
Would you have been able to name those ships had you not Googled that?
I would have had to think about it. Yeah, I think I would have done.
Santa Maria, I should have got that.
Nina, Pinta, Santa Maria. What about the...
this game's okay. Never going to run well. Let's not.
Yeah, yeah. Let's not test each other's terrible knowledge on the podcast. So I want to talk about something else, actually, because I was so inspired by our our chat. So Charlotte and I had a chat on the last week's podcast about the motor yacht Bella T, which is languishing, I suppose, in South Africa, which is up for auction. And there was a very funny comment made by one of the people involved in the project about the requirements involved in buying her. See last week's podcast. But it's a massive, it's a deal, right? I think it's a 45 meter yacht, but it's basically just a metal shell. So anyone that takes it on has got a project on their hands. But you know, there's the potential there for a really interesting project. So I wanted to find out, using our brilliant Boat Pro market intelligence tool, I wanted to find the biggest, cheapest boats I could find that were currently for sale. So I set a benchmark at 10 million. But it turns out with some of these boats, you get a lot of change with your 10 million. So these are the biggest, let me see if I can get the syntax right. These are the biggest, cheapest boats available for under 10 million. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Great. So the first one I found was 60, this is amazing, 67.06 meters long, 1,500 gross tons. She's called Atlantis 2, and she is asking $600,000 with All Ocean Yachts. Not even a million, $600,000 for a 67 meter, 1,500 gross ton boat. And for those of you hurriedly opening your emails, sending abuse to podcast at boatinternationalmedia.com, this isn't the same Atlantis 2 that is often seen in Monaco, which is much, much bigger. This is a different Atlantis 2. In a much worse state, it's fair to say.
Yeah, I'm just jumping ahead, but reading the script that she's finished to scientific standards. I'm not entirely sure what that means.
That's not good. So anyways, it's a massive boat, first of all. She was built in 1962. She's currently lying in Jacksonville, Florida. And I read a broker report about her, which was sent to me by our data man, Raphael. And the broker report said she was in a decent condition. She's got 32 cabins and stores to allow her to stay offshore for 120 days. She was also built, check this out, she was also built to carry Alvin, the submersible that found the Titanic. There you go. And she's done, done some charters for Triton submersibles. I think they've taken her out a few times. But the reference to the interior. So this is it. So it was described as the interior was finished to scientific standards after being used by the Woods Hole Oceanographic. That's it. There you go. Got there in the end. Institute for many years. Yeah. So scientific standards. That's not a great way to describe the interior, is it?
No, but I do want to see it now. It has intrigued me.
Absolutely. So it's fair to say scientific standards is somewhat sub-superyacht standard. So she'll need a bit of work on the inside, but that price for a 67-meter, 1,500 gross ton boat is pretty incredible. And the broker said the owner was ready to deal. So there you go, you could knock 100,000 off, get it for half a million.
What are you waiting for, Stuart?
Next, I found Yakun, which is a 65-meter, 661 gross ton boat. And she's asking a bit more, 6.5 million euros with Fraser. She's listed with Fraser. She was built by Nicolini in 1987. Actually, I got the gross tonnage wrong. Forgive me. She's actually 986 gross tons. She was originally built for the Royal Family of Qatar as Al Menwar, was her original name. She was acquired by her current owner in 2006, and she was used for a two-year circumnavigation. So she has some serious passage-making chops, and she was refitted in 2017.
I'm guessing if she was built for the Qatar royal family, her interior is more than to scientific standards.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. I think she'll need a refit if you buy her. But, you know, all is not lost on this interior.
You can keep the gold taps.
Probably keep the gold taps. Bit of bling. She's a decent looking boat, and 65 meters, 6.5 million, a lot of boat for the money, 986 gross tons. So there you go, there's Yakun. Next one's very special. Blue Dawn, 61.84 meters LOA, 896 gross tons, asking just 2.8 million euros. So this is a really cool looking boat. kind of, she is the definition of a lot of boat for the money, this one. She's listed with IYC and would make a really interesting conversion project for someone. She was launched in 1951 by German yard Sietas Schiffswerft and was refitted in 2005. So IYC have put together a refit proposal for her that would turn her into an elegant classic yacht, motor yacht. And so one thing in the spec sheet that caught my eye, she can seat 60 for dinner on the decks. 60 people for dinner sounds like absolute hell to me. But if you love throwing big dinner parties, I know you're a big fan of the big dinner parties. Fire.
I do like a party. I think 60 is quite a lot. But then if I'm not doing the catering, then that sounds more manageable.
It's a lot of canapes. So yeah, 60. If you've got 60 people, you I don't know, 6 people I want to invite for dinner, let alone 60. So if you've got 60 people you want to invite around, then have a look at Blue Dawn. But I think she could be a real, real good project, this one. She needs a lot of work, but you could probably get her for 2.5, chuck in another 10, get yourself an in-class 62-meter classic yacht for 12.5 million all in. That might be wildly optimistic.
I was gonna say, where have you got that number for?
10 million might be wildly optimistic.
Sound like a London builder. Yeah. Just chuck 10 million at it.
Chuck 10 at it. I mean, yeah, without seeing it, I mean, that is a very big ballpark. I've just thrown at that. So we'll see. But who knows? I mean, she's been on the market for a little while. So I think she's an interesting project. And you've picked one as well, haven't you?
I have, yes. I did my own little bit of under 10 million window shopping. And I came across Voyager, which is 61.72 metres. So she has a gross tonnage of 752. And she's asking slightly more again, so 8.5 million. And she's listed for sale with Edmundston. She was built in 1973 and features naval architecture and exterior design by Sparkman and Stevens. She was then purchased in the early 2000s with the purpose of transforming her into the ultimate expedition vessel for charter. And she went on to do some pretty impressive trips in sort of remote tropical destinations. And I think she also spent a lot of time in Alaska. She also, her 10 cabin layout means that you can accommodate up to 22 guests. Not an issue for you with your 6 friends, Stuart, but for those of us...
we'll have loads of room.
...that want to bring more on board, she's got that as well. And what's more, I mean, she's obviously would still be a project, but she has just undergone a thorough 18-month technical and mechanical refit, together with a hull and superstructure respray and a cosmetic refurbishment of the interior. So less of a project, explorer credentials, and a bit more ready to go. I think she's a good option.
I think she is too, and she's got a similar kind of look to Blue Dawn as well, similar age. No, she's younger, so she was delivered in 73, Blue Dawn was 62. But yeah, again, you know, a good looking boat, and she's just come on the market with Edmundston. She was listed on the 17th of Feb, so just the other day, so this week.
Yeah.
8.5 million.
Yeah, you heard it here first.
Yeah, there you go. Good little project, or good big project, rather, for someone. So there you go. It just goes to show you, doesn't it? I mean, there's, you know, the market's running very, very hot at the moment. But, you know, this is terrible advice, isn't it? These boats might be in a really poor state. I just don't know. But from the very cursory examinations we've done of these boats online, there's definitely some potential there, I think. So for just a couple of million, you get yourself a 60 plus meter, almost 1,000 gross ton super yacht.
Please don't write to us when you do this and then find that Stuart's estimates of what it costs to take on a project like this are wildly inaccurate.
Or do, and we can document the story, the ups and downs, the highs and lows, and hopefully a very lovely super yacht at the end of it. But actually, how about this for a deal? I did find, it's not a super yacht, but I wanted to highlight this.
It's been a busy work week, Stuart.
Actually, it has been horrendously busy. So while idly cruising the yacht listings out there, I came across this. So you can buy an 89-meter-long paddle wheeler built in 1995 for $4.9 million. So talk about volume. So this thing has bags of it. It's called the Emerald Queen. It was built in the US by a shipyard called Quality Shipyard. You know it's a quality product.
Yeah, it's in the name.
Quality Shipyard. for a purported $15 million. She has a she has a 2,000 person capacity. So obviously not the boat for me.
I'm out at 2,000 people.
That's a lot of room for six people. We almost have a deck each. So she has four decks and 23,000 square feet of interior space. Additionally, there's 70,080 square feet of deck space. So the pictures are incredible. They show this vast. I think she was a gambling paddle wheeler, but all the gambling paraphernalia has been removed. And there's these vast empty rooms. And some quite elaborate chandeliers, I think, get thrown in with the deal. She's lying in Tacoma, Washington, and is listed with Northwest Yachtnet. So if you don't want to take on a 1962 rebuild project, how about a paddle wheeler?
I mean, that's got to be quite the project, hasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it really does.
Has there ever been a paddle wheeler to super yacht conversion?
No. I don't know. But I'm it's an educated guess. I would say no. I'm not sure where you'd be able to take it, really. I'm not sure you could paddle wheel over to the Bahamas. That might be a bit much for it. But yeah, lots of room if you fancy cruising Dixie style down the rivers and a bit of gambling, maybe some banjos and top hats.
Sorted.
All done.
Like most weekends we used to.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's get to the news. Sophia, why don't you kick us off with the first story?
Yep, so it's been a busy start of the year for Fredship. On Tuesday, the 67.4 metre, known as Project 823, was spotted on transport following her technical launch at the Shipsworth Schlob shipyard. Try saying that three times. Little's known about this secret to Fredship project, other than her delivery is scheduled for 2023. A first glimpse at her hull and superstructure show four decks, and the yacht will now be transported to Fredship's yard in Carg for outfitting. The sighting followed the launch of 71-metre Juice, which was formerly known as Hull 820, over the weekend. Juice was designed by British studio RWD and was commissioned by repeat Fredship clients. Highlights include an 8-metre pool on the main deck, a walk-around superstructure, sun deck gym and cinema on the lower deck. It looks to continue to be busy for Fredship because other yachts that we know are currently in build include the 118-metre Project 1010, which was first glimpsed in October 2020 and is due for delivery, we believe, this year, as well as Fredship Project 822, which was spotted on transport in September 2021. So we'll keep abreast on all of that. We get pictures online and video online as soon as we can when we see these incredible vessels on the move or hitting the water.
So much action at Fredship. Juice is a lovely looking boat. RWD have just perfected this kind of they just make such an elegant design, such an elegant boat, and Juice is another example. And they've got this kind of RW kind of drop in the superstructure, this classic RWD signature almost, and it's just really lovely. And very, very, you know, I hate the word sleek, but
it's a banned word.
It is a
Stuart.
Banned word. So sumptuous. There's two banned words at Boat International, but I've just broken my own rule. But yeah, lovely looking boat. Big fan of that one. Meanwhile, in another Dutch shipyard, Royal Hackvoort has signed the largest ever new build contract in its history, and that was with Fraser. The 65-metre project will sport an exterior and interior design from Sino, while naval architecture comes courtesy of Diana Yacht Design. Under the codename Project Y9254, construction will commence at Hackvoort's Monica Dam facilities, with a delivery date slated for 2025. The yacht will feature a large pool on the main deck, alongside a lounge with a bar and beach club with its own gym. Elsewhere, the sun deck will host a jacuzzi and the bridge deck will have a massage room and library. Library, nice. Accommodation will be for 14 guests in six cabins, comprising a fully private owner's deck, four suites on the main deck and a large family apartment located on the lower deck. So Royal Hackvoort, lovely, great shipyard. They're just big deliveries just come out of their facility in Monnikendam. I think I've said that right. That's one of those Dutch words that trips me up every time. But I went there years ago for the first time, and it's this kind of chocolate box Dutch town, and it's lovely. It's like almost like it can't be real. It's just so delightful. And then you're walking through the streets, and in the middle of town, there's this massive shed. And that is the Royal Hackvort shed. And they're really constrained by space there. But what they do with the space available is amazing. And when I visited for the first time, I think they were building Scout, the 64 meter. And in the yard, in the shed itself, we went right to the top of this boat, and you could reach up and touch the roof of the shed. Every square kind of inch of the shed was occupied by this boat. So they're quite limited by space. I don't think they can build much bigger than 65 meters. I think that's about it. I think they might be able to add a temporary extension to the shed to maybe go a tiny bit bigger. But they've found a real sweet spot in that kind of 60 to 65 meter range. And Scout's a phenomenal boat, and this one looks like it'll be another one for Royal Hackvort. So congratulations on that deal.
Yeah, I had no idea that was what their facilities are like. So
it's amazing. If you get the chance, you should go and check it out, because it's really, really special. And just, it's kind of out of nowhere. There's this enormous shed. It kind of rises up from the middle of the town. It's fantastic.
Oh, well, I'll watch with interest as that one develops.
Yep.
At the other end, 62-metre CRM project C138 has launched and been named Rio. The 62-metre yacht was launched at a private ceremony held at the Fretty Group's yard in Ancona. The launch followed an announcement that the yacht had been sold by Alex Hayes and David Westwood at TWW Yachts. Rio was designed by CRN in partnership with Omega Artex and is the first collaboration with the pair since 73-metre Yala in 2014. The exterior has been described as supremely sporty, and she features a near-vertical bow. In a statement, the shipyard said that the custom yacht skillfully combines the infinitely large, huge size and impressive performances, and the infinitely small in the form of precious functional details. CRN's another busy, equally busy, has another two fully custom yachts under construction, the 72-metre CRN 139 and the 60-metre CRN 141.
Yeah, busy times from CRN. It was launched over the weekend, and my phone kind of blew up with people from the Fretty Group saying, get this online. Great, great. Yeah, nice looking boat. Congratulations to Alex and David from TWW for selling that one. It's great to see CRN so busy. They build nice boats.
It's a fun ceremony as well. They got some great images with the kind of colours going off behind the yacht.
Yeah, those pictures are on our social media, I think, and on the website. And all those stories, as ever, we'll put links to them in the description of the podcast. So let's move on to our data story, which, as ever, is brought to you by Boat Pro, the superyacht industry's leading market intelligence service. So we've done a bit of yacht spotting this week. So if you don't know, Boat Pro isn't just graphs and numbers and other things. It is also a brilliant AIS device. So there's a great interface as you log in, and it shows a world map and positions of boats, and you can track boats and you can look at their positions, their last 1,000 positions, so you can really see where they've been around the world. Like, I geek out on the AIS system quite often, and just stalk boats around the world, really. It's quite good fun. So we've been looking at where some interesting boats are, and why don't we start with the Caribbean, Sophia?
Yeah, so as you suspect, a large proportion of the fleet are in the kind of traditional Caribbean hotspots. As we spoke about in the first podcast of the year, there are 93 yachts anchored off St. Barts for New Year. Stuart, would you like to take a guess at how many are there now?
According to the script, there are 43. So you put the answers to your tricky questions in print. I don't give the answers
Lesson
away.
Learned. I'm not going to move forward. I'm going to have my own private script that you can't see. Yeah, correct. There are 43.
Oh, I'm so a brainiac.
But yeah, including, as usual, some biggies. So Eclipse, Flying Fox, a Lady Brit, to name just a few. But one yacht that has caught our attention that's headed slightly off the beaten track in Caribbean terms is the brand new Lursan Afo, which arrived at her private berth in Jamaica in early December. Jamaica is a beautiful island, but it's quite unusual to see a super yacht of Afo's calibre there. So it'd be interesting as to whether a few more might start to head over that way. One to keep an eye on.
Yeah, actually, talking about that, so I was on the phone with Star columnist Eddie Jordan yesterday. Eddie was telling me all about his time in the Caribbean over Christmas and New Year. And he was in Barbados for a period. And he said there was he's in the area. And he said there was quite a few boats hanging off Barbados as well, which I don't think is traditional for that time of year. So he named a few. Elandes was there, Rose Harty, and there was a couple of other big names. So that's nice to see as well.
Anyway, away from the Caribbean, some yachts have chosen to head east instead of west from the Med. And there's been quite a few actually in the Seychelles. There seems to be quite a group of them this year. This includes the giant Benetti Lana, which is available for charter with Imperial. Lionheart, which is quite unusual because I think she normally stays berthed in Monaco pretty much year round. So it's interesting to see her out there. And Blue Denims, which was, of course, our November cover boat for our reef issue, is currently anchored off Eden Island there. I know her owner is a huge fan of the Seychelles and the Maldives and loves kind of taking the yacht that way. And he's also keen to charter out there. So it's not a surprise to see her there, but nice to think of her out there. And we then also had a look, and some yachts have also headed. I had a debate about this in the office as to whether they'd headed further east or further west. I suppose it depends which way you go. But there's a handful. There's a handful in Hawaii, predominantly anchored off Honolulu, seems to be the anchorage of choice. And these include Endless Summer, Mea Culpa, and Ocean Dreamwalker. And of course, as you'd expect, there's a number, you know, in the South Pacific, in Tahiti, including Arctic P, which has just been made available to charter for the first time.
Oh, really? That's interesting.
A pretty cool yacht to have on the charter market.
Yeah.
Now, some yachts have shunned the traditionally tropical spots in favour of some cooler climates. So, as we discussed before Christmas, London has weirdly been a bit of a hotspot this year. Here Comes the Sun was here, Fee was here, Kismet was here, Moonsand was here. Obviously, Stuart, you got to go on her while she was in London. And she's also going to be our March cover boat in London.
She is. Yeah. Moonsand is on the March cover. Lovely, lovely image with Tower Bridge in the background.
And Phoenix, which is the third hole of the Benetti Oasis 40 metre series, is also still currently berthed in St Catherine's Docks.
So there is a reason for this. Obviously, we have Brexited. We are no longer in the EU. So owners are choosing to take delivery of their boats outside the EU and British waters. And that means London. So if you're going to take delivery of a boat in UK waters, why wouldn't you do it on the Thames? You know, take the boat up the Thames, stick it in... St Cat's Docks, there's a size limitation, but in West India Dock, you can put some big boats. So Here Comes the Sun was there, Moonsand was there, and it's actually really cool. The Docklands actually has come a long way. I've been there for a while, actually, since I saw Tim Haywood, because he was on Here Comes the Sun before Christmas. And obviously, I went in there with Moonsand a bit before that as well. So after not going to the Docklands for years and years and years, I was there twice in about 2 weeks on super yachts, and I was actually really impressed by how much life there was there, because I wasn't that impressed the previous time. So it's just a cool place to stick your boat. So, and there's plenty of water there for quite deep keeled boats. So yeah, I think we'll see more and more of this.
Interesting. An unintended positive of Brexit. More sea fjords in London.
Yeah,
let's not go into the pros and cons of that now.
Yeah.
But another yacht that's made the same decision, but in a slightly different direction, is the brand new 55-metre Fredship Shinkai. So she chose to make her maiden voyage to Edinburgh in Scotland. Our online team have furiously been trying to get pictures of her in Edinburgh because we know she's there, but apparently she's rather sneakily hidden behind the wall that's kind of built to hide Royal Britannia, so that effectively you can only see Royal Britannia if you're a paying guest. So it's actually not possible to get photos of her at the moment, but if someone manages to get behind the wall, then we'll get some photos and get them online.
Yeah, send them our way.
And then obviously a handful of yachts have headed to even colder temperatures than Edinburgh. I did actually check. It's balmy 2 degrees in Edinburgh today, and have instead, of course, gone to Antarctica. Legends down there. She's obviously a bit something of an Antarctica stalwart these days. I think she goes there every season. She's currently anchored off King George Island. And La Dacha, who is also going to be spending her first season down that way, she is currently anchored off Isla Picton, which is near Ushuaia. So she's still in Argentinian waters, but we'll expect she'll be heading south again soon. Stuart, which of those destinations take your fancy?
Given the grey skies we're experiencing in London right now, I think I'll take a berth on Lana in the Seychelles. Thank you very much. if the principal charterer wants to get in touch and just lend me a cabin, that'd be great.
Yeah, he hasn't got any friends to bring, as discussed. He's very low maintenance.
Very low maintenance. Well, that's it. That wraps it up. We're not doing an interview this week because we are releasing our interviews now on Monday. The Big Boat interview with Shirish Saraf can be heard on Monday. And then we'll be back with more news next Friday. So thank you for listening. This has been mixed and produced by Grace Nielsen. It's a production of Boat International Media. Don't forget to like and subscribe, and we'll see you next time. Have a great week.